Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus' comments in today's gospel are all about discipleship. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And any one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. This gospel often leaves people like with that deer in the headlights look. Eyes like saucers. Did he just say that? That's Jesus' words. He's not mincing words. Family relationships and possessions must be subordinated to the following of Jesus. The idea that priority in the lives of the disciples of Jesus, of Christians, must go to the claims of Christ. All other considerations are secondary, even those of family. Them's the rules. This brings us to the need for constant self-examination. What things or actions in our lives might have become more important than Jesus Christ? If you can't honestly identify any of those obstacles in your own life and obstacles between you and Jesus, then you might need to do some work. You might need to go deeper in your prayer and your spiritual assessment until you're certain that you are free to love God. Most of us are prisoners of one thing or another. Don't tell anybody, but I'm partial to my glass of wine in the evening and a nice meal, and I'm not sure what I'd do if you told me I couldn't have them anymore. But all of us have things like that. This is why it's critical for us to be in the habit of honesty with ourselves, an honest self-examination and confession. This is the reason why examining the seven deadly sins is so important to us. Now, the seven deadly sins, as we recall, include pride, gluttony, greed, lust, sloth or laziness, envy, and anger. Who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. There you go. That's why we're here today. This should be our primary project in our lives. Have you calculated what you must do to be ready for salvation? Have you identified those things for which you need Jesus' help and maybe a little more effort on your own part? Now, Jesus gives us a good way to think about that and think about our eternal life as a serious project. That's why he said today, "Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish.'" One of the things we need to take into consideration as we plan to construct our own lives and prepare for our eternal salvation is to be free of serious sin. Deadly sin can blind us and keep us from seeing if we have any serious obstacles to our salvation. The deadly sin of gluttony is a frequent obstacle to spiritual clarity and spiritual maturity. Sin can make us blind. Let's recall that God gave each of us our natural appetites. We need to eat and drink to survive. There's no sin in that. There's no sin in our hunger and thirst. Jesus ate and drank, even after his resurrection, as we read in the Gospel of John. "Have you got something to eat?" he said. On the cross, Jesus said, "I thirst." Jesus experienced temptation when he was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Jesus was totally human. He was hungry. He needed to eat and drink. But Jesus knew the difference between what we need and what we desire. And as we journey in faith, we learn that there really is very little that we truly need. However, there's a lot that we desire. Need. Desire. Need. Desire. We confuse them all the time. And how do we know the difference? That's where prayer is important. We need to grow in self-awareness. This is one of the fruits of the ancient Christian tradition of fasting and self-discipline. You learn what's real in fasting. Self-discipline is a lesson we all learn as we grow and mature. Self-discipline involves gaining control over our desires and our bodily needs. One of the best examples for me of self-discipline is that it's the key to potty training. Parents work for years to get us to the point where we can fully control ourselves and get through a night without an accident and be responsible for our own natural bodily functions. Appetite also needs that self-discipline. It is our unredeemed self that says, "I want what I want when I want it." Gluttony occurs when desire wins over necessity. Gluttony happens when we lack the will and the spiritual muscle and the habit for self-control, and we become prisoners of our appetites, of our desires. Gluttony can lead to addictions, even to food and drink. What is alcoholism, if not gluttony out of control? And what is most obesity, if it's not gluttony out of control? Gluttony is about excess in our desires, the lack of spiritual muscle. With gluttony, we lose our God-given freedom and we become slaves to our appetites. Gluttony overpowers our love of God with an excessive, destructive love of self. Gluttony kills our virtue of generosity toward others. Gluttons cannot be truly generous. Gluttons are blind, selfish prisoners. How do we control and counter the deadly sin of gluttony? Well, the solution to gluttony is the virtue of temperance, a word we don't use often enough these days. Temperance, it's one of the four cardinal virtues. It's the virtue that controls the yearning for pleasures and delights that most powerfully attract the human heart, and it helps preserve our human freedom. There are three virtues that are part of temperance: abstinence, chastity, and modesty. And abstinence is the virtue we use to control our desire for and our consumption of food and drink. And it's natural to have human passions and appetites. There's no sin in that. It's also human and mature to learn how to control those passions and appetites and distinguish between need and desire. We've almost forgotten how to teach fasting and abstinence. These are just as important to our salvation today as they ever were in the history of mankind. On Ash Wednesday and throughout Lent and on Good Friday, we still have a little bit of it, just to, so we don't forget about it. And the church still calls us to fast and abstinence, not as much as it used to. These are very important abilities, not rules. We learn to be able to fast by doing it. It's like riding a bicycle. If you note that fasting and abstinence are hard for you, then you need to get back on the bike. And it's clear, it's a clear indication about how much you need to practice them. Self-denial is an essential part of our journey toward our eternal salvation as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's about freedom. Fasting and abstinence help set us free. Free to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus' teaching in the gospel is about self-examination and self-denial and anticipation and preparation for discipleship and eternal salvation. That's what this gospel is about. He's teaching us to examine obstacles to our salvation. Imagine if we were to sit down to examine our chances of eternal salvation and find ourselves saying, you know, I don't think I want to go to heaven if there's, I don't want to go to heaven if there's no McDonald's there. Or saying, you know, heaven might be a nice place, but I need to have my beer and wine. And if I can't have those, I don't want to go to heaven. I've even heard people say this about their pets, that if I can't have Smoochie, I don't want to go to heaven. And Jesus teaches us to evaluate our priorities and our life resources, saying, what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide with 10,000 troops whether he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he's still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Take a good look. Sit down in prayer and decide for yourself whether you can persevere in faith toward your eternal salvation. You can't achieve your eternal salvation. Only God can do that. But you can block it. You cannot be prepared. If you can see that you're not free to live as children of God, shouldn't you take your self-denial more seriously?